Welcome to the Today We Podcast. As always, we have Trent,
Chris,
and Caleb.
And welcome to a brand new episode of the Today We Podcast. We today actually have a special guest, Eagle. We'll kind of start with you, Eagle, if you want to go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself, games you like to play, movies, anything like that.
Hi, I'm Eagle. Typically, game-wise, I'm more of a MOBA kind of guy. Play a little bit of Heroes and some other stuff here and there. Movies-wise, big horror guy. So, yeah, some comedy here and there, but mostly horror. So, it's pretty much it for me.
Right on. I think we're going to actually kick this episode off talking about Star Wars Destiny, which is a new game that I just lost my train of thought.
Pretty much we all been playing a new card game.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight, that's what I was trying to say. Fantasy Flight actually made this game, and we've all got the, I believe we've all got the both starter decks, right?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we've all been playing a little bit of matches here and there, and right now it's really hard to find the booster packs, so that's our biggest, I guess that's my biggest flaw with the game right now is availability. We've been finding packs as we can get them and trying to collect and build decks and stuff like this, but it's a really, really good fun game. Chris, if you want to start us off with your kind of review of the game so far, we'll start with you.
Okay. Got a chance to play it for the first time a couple weeks ago. A lot of fun. For those who may not know much about it, it's a collectible card game that also includes some dice, and which is kind of unusual. Don't really know of any others, but I'm sure there are some. Does anybody know of any?
I think it's Dice Masters. I haven't had the chance to play it.
Yeah, I'd heard that, but I haven't played it either.
Yeah, me either. So the dice kind of brings an interesting change to the card game industry, to me anyway. Like, I know Eagle had mentioned there may be another one out there. I guess we're as far as card games go, Magic is always my reference point, I guess, and so adding dice to that, to me, is a really, really cool concept, and you have to roll in order to activate certain abilities of your card. You can roll for damage points, etc. like that, so I think that dice is a pretty cool addition to the game.
Yeah, I like the die. It's also something else to collect, and the way they did the sides of it, they used the card art, like, you know, cropped out the main part of the card art and put it on the die, so it's cool to collect those too.
Yeah, and another interesting thing is a lot of people think that these are actually stickers that's on the dice. However, no, these are actual, they're built into the, there's no way to peel these off, they're part of the dice, which I think was a really nice addition to that. That way people couldn't just, well, number one, your dice wouldn't tear up. Number two, people couldn't just, you know, put whatever stickers they wanted on the die.
Yeah, they're really well crafted.
Yeah, I agree there. Chris, I know you was actually out of work today, but me and Caleb actually had an interesting conversation about how, so you know, for example, when you get Finn in the starter pack, he only comes with one of his die. If you actually wanted to run him with two die, how they would handle that, if you'd be able to purchase dice separately, or if you'd have to buy, or if they would sell it so that you buy the card and the dice. I think we were leaning more towards you would probably end up just buying the card with the dice.
Yeah, I think from what I understand, the singles market, when you buy those, you'll get the card and the dice. You don't necessarily have to field that card in your deck. You just have that one character card, but you do have to have the second dice, especially for tournament purposes.
Right, yeah. And so that was just something interesting. We had talked about at work today. I figured I'd mention it. Because I guess it'll be interesting to see how they do that, but I'm, you know, fairly confident that's how they'll do it. Caleb, do you have a review of the game you wanted to give?
Yeah, so far I've liked it quite a bit, and big card game player. I'd say some of my favorite aspects are the way turn order works. Everything is really simple. As far as anything done is pretty much considered an action, and that passes the turn.
Unless the card dies otherwise.
Yeah, yep. And then the die was cool. The availability's been tough, and not had great luck with the boosters I've got as far as characters go. But yeah, the game's been really fun. I love how it kind of plays out in your head sometimes as well. You know, certain scenarios on the board, like what I'm doing, like I can see it happening in that universe.
Right. Yeah. Eagle, have you? I know you've probably played a few games with your friends. Do you have a review of the game you'd like to give?
I mean, sure. We've sat down and played a couple. A buddy of mine got a Django. We were trying out some new characters and seeing the three character perspective.
Django looks Caleb, pretty nice too.
Yeah, I can agree. Fighting against him, I know I sounded a little bit weird on it, but playing against him a couple times and playing online against tabletop simulator decks of him, he's a beast. He's definitely a force to be reckoned with. As for a review of the game, I don't like the slowness of this, but I've also been playing Fantasy Flight for a long time now. I played Warhammer 40K, which is kind of a similar style of how this game played, minus the dice roll system and the actions. They had a similar event happen during the 40K times. So for me, I can be patient with it because usually after they pour through, everything's usually fine. So I'm kind of keeping my hopes up that kind of starts weeding itself out. But no, overall, I love the game. It's so much fun because you don't really see an overpowered deck, and it's not exactly all luck-based. But at the same time, it has so much... Like I said, there's not really an overpowered deck. You can build whatever you want.
Yeah, and that's another cool thing is... I think that's what's going to separate it from other games is I think that they've really done their research to make everything a balancing act between what any card, I guess. Because as you guys can attest to this, some of the really cool cards are like 5 and 6 resources in order to play the card. And another cool thing about the game that I've noticed is, like Caleb was saying earlier, where you... pretty much it slows the game down because you're doing one action, they do one action, you do one action, etc. So when you go to play a card like that, I know me and Chris actually had a game like this last week where he was setting up to just if I remember right, it was dealing however many damage of cards they have in their hand, and he was setting up for it, and I seen it coming, and I actually dropped a card. And I think I was able to roll the dice off of that special. So that was a pretty cool thing, I think, as far as being able to counter like that. Whereas Magic, you have to let the combo set off, you know?
Yeah, the stack order with Magic can make it complicated, whereas in Star Wars, I've not really seen a stack order yet.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Because I know we've questioned a few cards how that would play out in a certain order, you know? I think Ray was one of them in that Ray.
Yeah, there's some weird combinations with Ray and Django where they kind of can mingle within, well, Django especially, where he can mingle within other players' turns.
Like when he activates after
player activates.
Another character activates.
Yeah, that's a nice card.
So you're going to have ambushes fall on top of scenarios like that, and who knows what else is to come. So I can see cards like that maybe getting us some gray areas later.
Mm-hmm. The weird thing is Fantasy Flight actually released, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, that they're actually just announced the second set of these cards, and you still can't really get the first set, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was something I was going to ask everybody. I think up to this point, you know, everybody in the podcast today has got at least one or more booster packs. Has there been a card out of what you've got that you enjoy or are happy about?
I pulled Jabba the Hutt on my first pull, and I like Jabba, but from what I'm seeing, I'm going to have to build a yellow deck in order to utilize him as his best.
Yeah, and me and my wife actually found a shop and went and got a couple packs and pulled zero characters, which kind of sucks, but got some good like attachment support cards, Flamethrower, Hans Blaster, and she, I believe, runs Force Choke.
Oh, you end up getting Force Choke?
I did.
Nice.
That card's expensive right now. I think it's like $40 or $50 if I remember right. What about you, Eagle?
For me, I kind of got the... I actually got the opposite of what I wanted to pull. I was hoping to get Heroes. I was trying to run a mill deck, but I got Dooku. Playing with Dooku, though, was really fun. I started with the Kylo starter deck with I'd actually had to buy two for a store that I found, so I kind of got a couple packs, but I also got a second starter for Kylo, which really he's beneficial because I don't like Kylo out of the gate.
Yeah. I've said this since the beginning, judging on playing with using Kylo's starter deck and then using Rey's. I've noticed that Rey is really, really powerful right now. And I think because if you look at Kylo Ren's lightsaber card, that's what makes him really, really powerful. And I think that they were trying to make the starter decks kind of even, so they decided not to give him his lightsaber because at that point, he'd be ridiculous. With that being said, I think if you do a lot of research and editing, Kylo's, if he was to edit that starter deck they give you, I think he would be a really, really good character to play with.
And I think I can agree with that because, like I said, me and my wife played, and we've played probably about 5 or 6 matches now. And after we went and got some boosters and we both set up a real deck, she's just dominated me with Kylo. Unless I can get him out of the picture early, he has so much damage with the, you know, good attachments that it's hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Chris, have you gotten your wife to play any games with you?
We haven't got to sit down and play an actual game. I went through this weekend and kind of did what you were talking about before and kind of stepped through playing both sides and kind of just exploring the cards to see what you could do with them. And that the action economy of Rey is just fantastic. I mean, that able to go after adding attachments is a huge ability for her.
Yeah, and there's a couple attachments that have ambush, which gives you another action, so you can actually start doing a counter on that.
Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to convince my wife to play a couple rounds with me. I'll have to teach her how to play, which, and for you guys that have looked at the game from the internet aspect, and I know, Chris, you had mentioned the same thing, that it looks really, really confusing, and it kind of is. But once you actually sit down, and even after the first game me and Chris played, we pretty much had the rules right except for one thing. And so it's really easy to pick up on, and it's really easy to, I guess, get the hang of and understand how it's supposed to work. And then at that point, it's really fun once you understand what you're doing.
Yeah, the thing for me was just realizing one action card that gives you, and that was what, I just something else. Like, I need to do something else, but I can't. It's back and forth, and I think we'll get faster as we play some more games.
Yeah, yeah, I think so that's too. A big one, too. I think they build it so that new players will grasp it and just take off, but anybody who has previous experience with most card games, I think it's in that same predicament. I caught myself several times rolling for a character or play a card.
Yeah, I
get back to what we were talking about, get the wife to play. She did say she would sit down and play sometime soon, and so I look forward to that. I'm kind of tempted to not bust apart my starter decks until we play a few games, though, to see how they play.
So did you get any boosters yet?
Yeah, I did get a few. Couple of the things that I picked up that I thought were interesting, where you were talking about the mill deck, Eagle. Picked up Padme and Rebel Trooper, which is kind of one of those. I think she pretty much has to have something like that to keep her alive while she's doing that.
Yeah, I've been trying to build around it. My main issue is I was either debating on Rebel Trooper Padawan, just because I like that synergy, uh-huh. And there's two extra characters there, or doing a double Rebel Trooper and running what's it called, Squad Tactics.
Yeah, I think it could be a real interesting deck to try.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but if we want to go on the note of how rare cards are to find, I can give y'all a laugh right now. So earlier I set my deck up to buy it, and can y'all take a wild guess how much it is to get singles?
Ridiculous, because I priced a Kylo Stormtrooper and General Grievous deck, and literally 60% of it is already in the Kylo starter deck, and it was going to cost me $55 to finish that deck.
Wow.
And we're talking about 30 card deck limits.
Mm-hmm.
At minimum, I do believe. I don't know if you can go over.
And there was Magic decks that I put together, and I would have to buy the whole thing, and it would cost me $30 for a 60 card deck. If that gives you kind of an idea of the, I don't really want to say rareness, but the limited availability of the cards right now.
Yeah, I think that's a large contributor to that. It's just that there's so little availability right now that those rare pulls are, you know, if you really want them, you're going to pay for them.
Yeah, and right now we've got our secret spot. We're not telling you. That we've been going to, this guy keeps getting them in. He seems to, apparently, nobody there seems to care. They all want to play Magic and Pokemon, so we'll buy up all their Star Wars cards if they'll let us.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I call that a win, but no, my deck alone is, without everything, I think I'm halfway through it. Yeah, about 15, including three characters, is $108.
Phew.
Yeah, I didn't realize that DataPad's so expensive.
I pulled DataPad as well.
Oh, did you?
I actually had many matches where it didn't pay off, but the last match I played, I had it on Ray, took her extraction, and I had the Jedi rubs on her as well, and end up rolling like 4 mana. It was ridiculous. So that next turn, I was setting at 6.
Oh wow! But, I'll be really interested to see new cards that come out, new sets. I'm sure it's going to get big because of the limited availability right now. I hope it turns into I don't really want to say a competitor for Magic, but that you hear about it as often as you do Magic, you know, with the Friday night fights and everything like that. But it'll be, I'll be interested to see after the first couple tournaments, because I found a couple online that they're going to have this year, how big this game does get, because it's a really drawn out game. It's really good.
Did you see, have you guys seen some of the new cards that they're talking about for the next set?
I've seen a few, but I don't remember exactly which ones they were.
Palpatine, for his 2-dice version, was going to be 28 points.
Oh, wow. So
oh, my God. He could run him by himself.
Wow. So is nothing 2 points for a character?
Not that I know of.
I think the lowest I saw was a Stormtrooper, which was 7.
Maybe like a baby Ewok.
that might be part of the next set. We don't know. But as we find updates, we'll of course discuss them in our next several podcasts. But I think we're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. If everybody else here has gave a good review that they think of Star Wars.
I do. I approve of it. And if anybody's not checked it out, I would suggest at least doing some research online.
Highly recommend it.
I agree with that. So next topic we want to talk about was, of course, the NFL playoffs. Now, Eagle, he is also a Raiders fan along with Caleb. So these guys are both just watching football just to watch it. We're all pretty big football fans. And, of course, my beloved Steelers lost Sunday. They did not play up to par to what New England was playing. So, unfortunately, Pittsburgh's out. It's going to be New England and Atlanta. I thought the Atlanta and Green Bay game went 100% Atlanta's way. Green Bay just did not show up to the game.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's defense really showed something that game. Everybody knew their offense was strong, but being able to kind of embarrass Roger in a sense, considering what he's been coming off of, it's going to be interesting seeing how that plays out against the Patriots.
So do you think Atlanta's got a chance against New England?
Oh, yeah, I think either side's got a chance. I don't know where I would put money on it. It's a hard one.
Everyone wants to see New England.
I think that for sure New England will do the same tactic that they did against the Steelers against Atlanta, focusing on Julio Jones.
Because they locked down AB all game long. They knew exactly what they needed to do. Come in, shut down Le'Veon, and shut down AB. That's exactly what they did. And unfortunately, we just couldn't pull it off with the pressure their defense was putting on us. You could tell that we tried the best we could with what we had, but we just weren't prepared for our star players to be, I guess, heavily shut down, you know?
Yep, and it'll be interesting because I think Atlanta's got more options offensively than just Jones. So will it be enough is my biggest question, I guess, looking at the game.
So Eagle, what do you think about the Super Bowl? You gonna be pulling for the Patriots there?
No, honestly, I'm kind of a little bit tired of it. A couple of friends of mine from high school are big Patriots fans, so it's kind of annoying to – I mean, no offense to Patriot fans, but Y'all need to calm down, man. Brady's not a god.
And unfortunately, that's how people act about Tom Brady.
I'm sorry. I got to go against the Patriots because, honestly, it's about time they go down their they come off their hot streak for a little while. I mean, they've got an amazing coach, but I think it's about time they kind of – not to Browns level, but, you know, kind of sit there for a little while, rebuild their team up and get a new generation rolling. Give everybody a little bit of time through the, I guess, what would you call it, Patriots high tide?
I mean, eventually, like I've thought on that sub, you know, when Brady leaves, Belichick leaves, when these big name franchise players, owners, coaches start to leave that organization, it has to level out or become less, right?
There will be a fall, in my opinion. Just like Oakland went through a pretty big fall, just like San Francisco is going through a pretty big fall. I'm not going to mention the Browns because they're terrible every year. But you know what I mean? When they lose big players or big players get traded, moved, retired, whatever, or coaches leave, that's when you see teams take a dive. And unfortunately, it takes several years to build back up, which Oakland is on the rise. They're building up. And I think this season showed that for sure. And with them going to Las Vegas, I hope that will help boost up Oakland fans and people wanting to go to Oakland and play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm glad they finally kind of took a stance that they want to go. This whole season, since the news came out, everybody was so standoffish as far as media interactions with what do you want to do with Oakland going to Vegas? I'm glad they took a stance on it because they don't need a rebranding. The Raiders franchise is a great franchise, but Oakland is not what it used to be, the city itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully Atlanta wins. I'm with you guys that you kind of get tired of seeing a repeat, and it feels like if not every year, every other year, you're hearing about New England going to the Super Bowl. So it's kind of like a same old story nobody wants to listen to anymore.
Yeah, I'd be happy with Brady really cementing the legacy, being something that nobody's been to this point, and then like, okay, it's done. Let's get back to other teams.
Yeah. In the genre of NFL, there's been some talk about Big Ben retiring. So I've been waiting on that news for a couple years now. I think he was trying to push one more time for a Super Bowl, and unfortunately we couldn't pull it off this year. But we had a really good season, all things considered. So that'll be interesting to see what Pittsburgh's going to do as far as finding an alternative quarterback, because right now we don't. Landry Jones cannot be the face of Pittsburgh. He's terrible. So we've got to find somebody, and I feel like Big Ben needs to stay in for another year or two and help train this new quarterback and show him the ways, you know, and kind of take him underneath his wing and try and build him into a younger Ben Roethlisberger slash Tom Brady slash, you know, some of the best quarterbacks we've seen.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. If he is going to go, definitely get some rep counts with the backup quarterback under Big Ben. However, the team has still got so much talent. I don't know if it's more of, man, I'm getting old. We just lost a playoff game. I don't know what I'm doing. But he'll get back into it. I hope so. Or he's really thinking about doing it.
Yeah, and so we'll see. We'll see what this brings. Hopefully everything works out. We're able to find a really good alternative quarterback that can be built up to be a really good replacement. I hate saying that, but you know what I mean. A nice quarterback that can pick up basically where Big Ben left off.
and take McGloin from the Raiders.
Yeah.
Please do.
But I think that's all I had in the news of NFL. Other than I'm excited to watch Super Bowl. I don't mean to sound like I'm not. I just wish it was a different face going other than New England, because it seems like they go every year. But anyway, do you guys have any other input or news you've heard about for the NFL?
Nothing new, no.
Okay. As far as sports news, I've seen today they announced the new format of NASCAR this year, which is going to be completely different than years past. They're actually doing what I would call the equivalent of heat races, where they don't drive the full race now. It's going to be stage one, stage two, and then final stage. So if I remember correctly, stage one is like 25% of the race. I can't remember how much stage two or stage three was. So basically they'll run the first 25% of the race, they'll stop, and then they'll restart later. I'm assuming they'll have some downtime to work on the cars. I don't know for sure. I hadn't really read about that part. But basically what you want to do is they're going to have playoffs now instead of a chase for the cup. So basically what you want to do is you want to win every race, but at least finish in the top 10, because that's where you get your points from. And when you win races, you actually get a playoff. I forget the word they use, but basically you're guaranteed to be part of the playoff. You'll be considered for winning the race, and plus you get 5 bonus points for winning. So that'll be kind of interesting to see where NASCAR evolves this year with changing the rules up like that.
Yeah, and NASCAR is something I've never followed. Chris or Eagle, is that something you all followed or read on?
I used to follow NASCAR pretty well back in the late 90s, early to late 90s and early 2000s, but kind of lost track of things. Used to be a big Dale Earnhardt fan.
Woo, number 3.
That's right.
I was waiting on you to say he was a big Jeff Gordon fan.
No, he was definitely not one of my favorites. He was a little spoiled brat, what I thought of.
Now we see Chris's true colors coming out.
Yeah.
So I will say this about Jeff Gordon, right? So I agree 100% with you, Chris, that in his younger days he was a little spoiled little brat. But in the last couple years, right before he retired, I actually kind of like the guy, you know? My feelings kind of changed about him, you know?
Yeah, when I heard him talk about the sport, I respect it a lot more. But I haven't followed it for a while. But, I've eased up on my – but exactly what I said before. His early days, he kind of came across as – he was a spoiled brat, but I think he's matured well.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. was the same way. When he first started,
absolutely,
he was a spoiled little brat, and then in the past couple of years, he's kind of eased off and become a driver that you can respect and don't mind to watch race. You know, right now, all that hate has switched to go to Brad Keselowski, another young spoiled brat.
Yeah, I always like to watch races at Bristol. I always felt like it was a good track. It's always good to watch live races there.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you also heard, Chris, but they changed the name now of NASCAR. It's no longer the Sprint Cup Series. It's the Monster Energy Cup Series, I think is what they're calling it.
Yeah, I think my dad had told me a little bit about that a while back. I mean, they've had a couple of changes. When I first started watching, it was Winston Cup. So
we gotta get rid of cigarettes.
Yeah, then we had to get rid of cigarettes. So yeah.
They said switch it to something healthy like Aquafina Cup Series or something.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I think that's all I had for sporting news, especially in the NASCAR world. I don't know about you guys, if you guys had had any sports news or movie news or TV news or whatever.
Nothing sport-wise or entertainment-wise, I guess, other than old news. The only thing that's really been going on new is political with the inauguration.
Yeah, that's been on the TV nonstop for the past, since the inauguration. So we,
don't really follow NASCAR.
Don't want to really step on anybody's toes, but I think a lot of this stuff has kind of got a little bit out of hand. So I think that the change that we're going to be seeing with our new president Donald Trump will, I hope it'll be a good one, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, as I was trying to say, I don't really follow NASCAR. I'm mostly more of a mainly football, and I watch some track and field when I can find it.
Yeah, I think they released the title of the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi. The first thing that came into my mind was... oh no, Luke's gonna die.
I don't know. I think they're referring to. It could be. I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not either.
I hope we have a little bit more to see from him. This movie, but yeah, it does kind of sound ominous.
So, this is something we didn't mention last podcast, but at the time Carrie Fisher had passed away, and everybody knows that was going to have some effect on the movie franchise. Do you think they're scrambling right now, or do you think they have a well-set plan, idea that's going to still hit where it needs to?
It's probably throwing them a curveball. I don't think that her part to play was. I still think she had an important part to play. They've already come out and said that they're not going to CGI her. So I'm wondering if they're going to maybe try and do a little bit better job on getting someone to play her part and do a better job with makeup. I don't know.
Yeah, in my head, and I may be completely wrong, but I think that there's definitely some scrambling going on right now. They definitely have the money as a franchise to handle it properly, but that's not always easy to do. So this next movie is going to tell me a lot.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I guess it'll be weird without Leia or Carrie Fisher being part of the franchise anymore. That's unfortunate, but they've been doing this saga for quite some time, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, on that thought, they've had to at least have the thought in the back of their mind that, you know, some of these actors who are getting older would, or possibly, you know, pass away. So maybe they have something.
Yeah. Just can't have Mark Hamill go. I think that would pretty much destroy their plan for the next movie.
I think so, too. They need to give him some pills so he'll stay alive or something.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to play a huge role. And it's exciting because the last time we seen him on screen, he was so young. So I'm curious how he is now.
Yeah, in my head, I guess I'm thinking, you know, something like a really old voice.
Yeah, the only acting we got from him in the last movie was him staring down Ray.
And it was kind of creepy.
But he's been doing a lot of voice acting. Were you guys aware of that? That he does a lot of voice acting?
I can't remember the last... What was the last voice he did? I can't remember now.
I want to say he does, like... doesn't he do the Joker on the Batman?
The Killing Joke. He played the Joker on the Killing Joke movie they made. Yeah. He may actually do a few more of the Batman movies or TV shows too. But I know that movie, for a fact, was Mark Hamill playing the voice of the Joker. And he actually did a really good job at that too.
Yeah, wasn't he the Hobgoblin in the I think he was in the Spider-Man animated series?
Possibly. I hadn't really followed that series. I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah, I know he's done some voice acting there, and I think he did some. I think he's done some video game stuff too. He's not been not doing anything all this time. He's had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
So does anybody think there's going to be some returning character appearances from previous movies outside of what they've already shown in the next movie coming up?
Yes. But I don't know who. I feel like that somebody will see an old character again. But unfortunately, I do not have the, guess of who that would be, you know?
Well, there's plenty of speculation out there that there's some person is secretly Snoke, you know, Darth maybe it's Jar Jar or...
please don't let it be Jar Jar.
Come on, Sith Lord Jar Jar would be hilarious.
That would ruin the movie for me. I promise you.
Yeah, fans would get up and just leave.
I think we'll see some interesting twists the next movie. I certainly hope we do. Kind of in the vein of the things we encountered in Empire Strikes Back, where we find out that Darth Vader is really Luke's father. I think they probably have something like that in there. So I'm really excited about this movie.
Yeah, and on that, I also think, looking back on the other movies, both the strong light side and dark side characters face these areas in the story that tempt them. So I hope we get to see Rey and Kylo kind of hit those and what may play out there.
That's kind of what I'm hoping we're going to see. Because they've kind of hinted at that, especially with Kylo, and I think that they could certainly do that with Rey. It would make her character more interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what all pans out in the new movie. I know I'm really excited for it.
So you going in your Chewbacca outfit again, Trent?
No, I'm actually going to wear my Ewok outfit this time. I know Eagle Wynn is Princess Leia to the Rogue One opening.
Talking about that for real, last episode we touched on Rogue One. the turnout for Rogue One when I went to the theater was not on par with the last official episode. The last official episode, going to theater, even after like almost a week of its release, people come in dressed up. The excitement was more prevalent.
I'll agree with that. Unfortunately, when I went and watched it, it was about 2 to 3 weeks after it had released. So the hype had kind of died down, I guess. But I know in the movie theater we was at, it was maybe 15 people in there, including myself and my wife. And I know that when we went and watched The Force Awakens, it was about 2 weeks after the original opening, and that movie theater was still pretty packed. There was a lot of people that went and watched that. So, judging those two things, I would agree with you there, Caleb.
So, Eagle, is there any games you're currently playing that you're really into, you'd like to kind of let everybody know about? I know you step out of the bounds of what we typically play.
Hey, I won't bring up BlazBlue. I'm going to be fair here. Actually, there is one game, and it's – now, hear me out. I actually had to get convinced into playing this game. It's on Steam. It's on Steam for $4.99. It's called Golf With Your Friends.
All right.
So pretty much, it's an extreme-style putt-putt golf.
Extreme? What does that mean?
So pretty much, it's kind of a puzzle. It's kind of like you have to puzzle out the golf courses, because you have Timber, which is the easiest one. It's your start out one. Teaches you basic putt-putt with a little bit of challenging golf courses until you get up to about hole 18, where you have to fight the buzzsaw and the slide.
Can you give a little more background? I'm really lost on what you're talking here.
So it's literally a golfing game with putt-putt. One of the golf courses
solve puzzles in order to play.
Not exactly. It's pretty much a puzzle golf course. Like, you have different obstacles you have to go with, or elevations. It's pretty much just putt-putt with just a more, I guess, gaming sense.
So it should be called Putt-Putt with Friends.
Basically, but it is the most fun I've actually ever had. It sounds really dumb, because I originally wasn't actually going to play it until I was convinced by a couple people to play it. And I've been playing it nonstop since I bought it. I at least make sure before I go to bed, I at least play an hour, because it's just so much fun. And you can just play it with random strangers.
That's not creepy.
I mean, to each his own, but I'd highly recommend it.
Didn't you just go to the tournament this past weekend, Eagle?
Yeah, I went down to Charlotte, North Carolina to participate in the Get Some Games Downright Fierce 8.
Did you win the whole tournament?
Nah, man, I got bopped out pretty early. I went 1-2 in BlazBlue, but I had fun down there. It was really nice. The hobby shop that they had had a back building where they allowed us to set up. If I recall correctly, they broke a record with for a locally ran tournament. It was 104 active participants, which is the most, I think, nationwide.
That's interesting.
If anyone lives...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nah, go ahead. I was just saying, if anybody in the Charlotte area is down there and likes playing some fighting games, I'd highly recommend going down there. The people that hosted Frame Zero Gaming, really nice people, and if you're wanting to pick it up, they're really easy to talk to and really fun to play.
Okay. Shout out to Charlotte. No, I'm just playing. So, that's all I had to talk about this podcast. Has anybody else got anything they want to bring up, discuss? Maybe a topic we can talk about next time?
Nothing as of yet, but we'll definitely be back next week. And like always, if you like what you hear on here, make sure to subscribe, and Trent will be reading off our social media info in just a moment.
Yep, and today we want to give a special thanks to Eagle, who actually came out to be a part of the podcast. So thanks again, Eagle, for showing up.
Thank you guys for having me.
Not a problem, and we'll probably have you on as a guest in the future as well. But I'm going to be posting again to our Twitter account, which is @todaywepodcast. Again, that's @todaywepodcast, and I'll be posting the links to all the places that you can go and download and listen to the podcast. We've been uploading to iTunes, so you can find us on iTunes, YouTube, Podomatic, and so I'll be posting all those links. And be sure to give us a follow, share out our podcast, kind of get our help us get out there, and we'll be letting you guys know anytime we got any updates, new topics we want to talk about. We'll let you guys know. So as always, it's been nice talking to you all.
Goodbye.
See you guys next time.